welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Vancouver is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, still on the road? Geez, you've been traveling now for about a month straight, I believe.
It'll be close to a month by the time I get home next week.
Yeah.
Still have one more spot, and that's Calgary next weekend.
Okay, yeah. You were in Singapore, China, Hong Kong. How did you enjoy the Far East?
Oh, it was quite enjoyable. It's a busy place, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, indeed. Well, the last time that you and I got together, Mickey, was at the PDAC here in Toronto. We focused on zinc, and we told listeners at that time that we would be working our way through the base metals. Next up would be lead. I believe it's number 82 on the table. Take it away from there, Mickey. Fill us in on the characteristics and some of the history of lead.
Okay, it's a transition metal. It's bluish white. It tarnishes to dull gray. It's the highest atomic number amongst all the stable elements. So anything above that periodic table is radioactive. Heavy, high density, soft, ductile, malleable, very poor electrical conductor, resistant to corrosion, impervious to radiation, which is important. It's got a low melting point.
Mm-hmm.
So you add all that up, and it's the second most used base metal on the planet.
Okay, the second most used, and it's been known to mankind for thousands of years. Geez, 6400 BC or something like that. I mean, you got to go back a long way to find its origin.
And it was probably used before that, but that's the oldest archaeological record in Turkey. It was very much used in the early Bronze Age with lead, arsenic, tin alloys. The Romans recovered it from silver smelting, and they used it mainly in for their aqueducts, their plumbing, their pipes, and that use continued until recently. In the 17th century, it was not distinguished from tin, and there was one word for both metals, plumbum, and it basically refers to a soft metal, and that's where words such as plumber and plumbing and plumb bob mm-hmm. come from. And of course, lead historically has been used extensively in plumbing. In the U.S., its use has been known since at least the early 1600s, when it was discovered that Indians in what became known as the Old Lead Belt in southeast Missouri were using lead. And the modern-day use in the United States started in about 1823 in the same area. Mm-hmm. Since that time, there's been the new lead belt, the viburnum trend discovered, but that's where most of the mines are. Perhaps an interesting anecdote, or at least it's interesting to me, is my grandfather was a miner in the lead zinc mines of the tri-state district of southwest Missouri, which is probably the U.S.'s second largest lead district historically.
Mm-hmm.
And he was called a driver, and he was the guy that drove the trucks or the wagons pulled by the horses or mules out of the mine.
Wow.
And this would have been in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s.
And how do the early uses compare to the uses of lead today, Mickey? Because, you know, we've learned a lot about the metal over the years, and we now know that, in fact, this stuff can be dangerous. It is a poisonous metal, so I would imagine that the uses have changed, and we're using it more in some areas, but we're using it less in other areas, especially in areas where it might lead to human consumption of it in a secondary way.
Well, that's quite true, and originally, it was used mainly for, let's say, ballast in ships, and it was used in the aforementioned plumb bob and plumbing. Mm-hmm. Also, for ammunition, and that still is a very important use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, more than 50% of lead is used on annual basis is for lead acid batteries.
Right.
And for autos and trucks and heavy equipment at all.
You love fishing. You know those little weights we put on our fishing line to get our bait down to a certain depth? they used to be made of lead. Are they still lead now?
Well, yeah, they're still mainly lead, although there are some tungsten substitutes, but real fishermen still prefer to use lead.
What do we know about global production of lead right now, Mickey? And I know that the production has been on the rise, demand is on the rise, but where do we sit?
Well, that's exactly right, and the 2011 world production was up once again. Total production would be something on the order of 10.2 million tons. So it's used quite extensively. However, only about 45% of that is from new mining. Increasingly, especially in the auto battery industry, there's recycling of lead. So that becomes very important. China produces more than 50% of the world's lead at this point, followed by Australia. The U.S. still remains a very important lead producer, especially on the secondary lead market. And then you've got a few other miscellaneous countries, Mexico, Peru, India, Bolivia, Russia, etc.
Okay, now you mentioned that recycling plays a pretty important part of this story in addition to mine production. What about the prices of lead? Has it been fairly stable, or have they been kind of moving upward as demand has been increasing?
Well, they've been quite volatile, actually, and lead is very much a seasonal metal, so and it has a lot to do with how cold it gets in North America on a yearly basis. So in the last year, we've seen prices range from a low of 78 cents, and that would have been in the middle of the summer when most people don't need a new car battery. And it got as high as $1.12, and that was probably about the time that the Northeast U.S. and Eastern Canada had a very cold snap, if memory serves, sometime in February.
Okay. We always like to kind of wrap these up, Mickey, with a commentary from you on whether there's an investing angle here for viewers. So when it comes to lead, is there a money-making opportunity?
Well, certainly there are with the juniors, but it really comes because of byproduct silver production. So, you know, there's a bunch of juniors who operate, especially in Mexico, in small lead zinc silver mines, and also in Peru, because there are dedicated smelters to lead zinc ores in both those countries, and they take what is called dirty ores. So commonly these lead zinc silver replacement deposits have a bunch of other metals in them that most smelters don't like and will penalize you for, while these dirty smelters in Mexico and Peru basically take them and you don't get paid for them right. in any way, shape, or form. But certainly the robber barons at the smelter make money on them. So, yes, there is a way to play this, and it's generally these mines are known as silver mines, but really what they are, they're lead zinc mines. It just so happens that silver is the most valuable product out of them.
Okay, now you are in Vancouver right now as we speak. You're going to be heading to Calgary shortly. Next time we do a program, where are you going to be in New Albuquerque finally, or are you still going to be on the road?
Yeah, I think so, because the tax man cometh. So our next show will be just about the time that I'm going to be buried in my books and my year-end tax forms and paying Uncle Sam. And
yeah,
appears to be another few tens of thousands of dollars. So,
well,
but yes, plan on being in Albuquerque.
Okay.
Rob.
Well, the more you make, the more you pay, Mickey, I guess, and that's not a bad thing either. But let me ask you. Okay, we've done lead, we've done zinc. What's the next base metal that you want to tackle?
Well, we're going to work our way through the base metals in the order of tonnage produced. So the next one is tin, a very important base metal, but with a very much lessened total production on a yearly basis than the previous two.
Okay, great stuff, Mickey. Look forward to reconnecting with you in a couple of weeks, and I'll rescue you from all that paperwork that you'll be doing to please Uncle Sam and keep him at bay.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rob.
Okay, thank you very much, Mickey. That is Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.